Watch. I don't know how many others out there hate Watch. I'm a sick individual.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Fontaine and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
Hella roasted. Hella roasted. Will Farhan get roasted out of town? I'm sure the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys will talk about it.
It's a shame. It's embarrassing, really.
Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast, Sam Lubman, Joe Shasky. We'll have everything you need to know about any changes, firings, or hirings the Giants make this week and the rest of the offseason. Subscribe today so that you do not miss out on the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area. Before we get to Dave and Rocky, hang tight there. What if Farhan doesn't get fired? What if he doesn't?
I don't think that that would signal a lot of confidence to the fan base. I think the fan base is over it.
Yeah. What's love? How does love?
I mean, to me, doesn't that like? Okay, look. Are there merits to staying together? Sure, I guess there are. But it would tell your fan base like, nah, not much has changed. We're really close. When everyone can obviously tell you, like the final month of September, Bonte, they were out of it 1 week into September. The whole. All of baseball was fighting for a wild card spot, yeah. And you had 4 weeks of meaningless baseball.
Meaningless baseball.
Year six. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you did was a disaster. It's just not good enough. No one is saying that he's like the worst guy of all time who's ever run a team. No. It's just saying, like, you're not good enough, dude. Like, you can go run that same whatever with the Pirates, but it's not good enough here for the Giants. I mean, it just isn't. And it's not a sustainable business model.
So Spinoni, what would your reaction be if the Giants actually brought back Farhan Zaidi? Because we're monitoring the news. We've got a lot going on today in the Bay Area Media Day.
Can I do it via a drop?
Sure.
So how about say what you just said.
Spinoni, what would your reaction be if the San Francisco Giants decided to bring back the president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi?
You have to laugh through the pain too, right? Like, if you're a Giants fan, like, are you serious? Like, they are primed. Like, A's are gone now. It's all San Francisco. All the eyeballs. Not that many were on the A's, just as it being a dumpster fire and a joke of an organization. But literally, you have a perfect moment right now to wipe the slate clean, start fresh, start new, recapture some audience you might have lost. And this is what you're going to do? Just stick with the guy that everyone's just loving to hate right now? So yes, pardon me, the business person, the pregame Joe Spinoni would love to talk about it. But I'm not going to lie, Bonte. I see his face during Giants season. Joe Shasky is every single morning. He's just, it pains me to see him so upset.
Does it pain you or does it make you laugh on the inside?
Well, here's the thing. Like, here's
company
thing.
Loves misery, right? Or misery loves company, whatever they're saying goes.
I actually think it's a desirable spot because right now it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is. Like, we think it's unsalvageable. Okay. And look, the farm system somehow is still ranked 24th based on a variety of different ratings and metrics. I saw somebody had us dead last, but that was like a fan thing. But like, most people think that the farm is still like bottom third. Still bottom third. They haven't traded anyone away for 6 years. And then all they've been doing is just executing picks. And they can't develop anyone. You got Ramos, and I don't know what he becomes. You got Fitz. You got Birdsong. You got Luciano if you want to move him. I don't know what you can get for him, but maybe you staple him in Matos and you move those guys.
Get a bag of chips.
You got a war chest of money. You don't have any big salaries anchoring you down. You've got a couple of pieces here. It's not as barren.
Let me ask you this.
As it was.
Does a GM or a president of baseball operations look at the division and say, boy, it's going to be tough to win there?
Well, of course it is. But now you have third wild card.
I'm asking, though, because, you know, you got the Padres, you got the Diamondbacks, yeah. And you got the Dodgers. And the Diamondbacks, they get into the playoffs today if the Braves or Mets sweep each other. Well, now, if it's a split in that doubleheader, the Diamondbacks got to sit at home.
I would say that the East is extremely difficult, right? The NL East. I'm going NL, right?
Like, Phillies,
NL East.
Mets, Braves.
Yeah, I mean, you got, like, the Mets have a war chest of money. The Braves are very well run. And the Philadelphia Phillies also will spend a lot of money, right? So that's a difficult division as well. The the thing is not like, hey, win the division and right. all this. Like, it's more like, hey, there's these wild card spots. You can't get into one of those. Now, the Central's, I think, the easiest division
in baseball. But AL West. AL West is...
No, I meant in the National League. In the National League, right? But even that being said, Milwaukee's very well run. Year in, year out. And if you think that St. Louis is going to rest on their laurels, like, no, they're going to make big moves as well. So I expect them to be significantly better. The Giants' job isn't that bad.
No, it's not that bad. I agree.
No, is it the top of the top? No, it's not the top of the top.
I agree. But I'm just wondering.
Would you rather be the Giants or would you rather be the Toronto Blue Jays in that division? Like, hypothetically.
Yeah, you probably...
Because both present problems. Good question.
But who's got the better start? Vlad Jr.'s good. They got problems, though. They definitely have problems because Baltimore's good.
Yeah, no doubt. You're looking up at the Orioles, the Yankees.
You got the Red Sox are battling with.
Yeah, Rays are always well run. Haven't made the playoffs in 5 years.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I don't know. Like, your point about like...
I mean, you're going to take the GM job. No doubt. I just...
But it is a tough job. No, it is.
But I look at this division, I look at the farm, and I look at everything happening. It's tough. It's tough right now for the Giants. But I do think it's a lot more desirable than, say, when Farhan took the job. They could be in a better spot right now than when Farhan took the job. When Farhan took the job, they had a lot of aging players. Yeah. Farm was a disaster.
Now salaries.
You could still say the farm is a disaster, but at least you got some players. You're able to get some players. You got some prospects. Life could be worse.
No doubt.
Life could be worse.
Your point is well taken that it could be a lot worse. And no one is saying that he was awful at everything. We're just saying it's not good enough. Like, this is a classic case of, he did some things okay, but overall, the body of work is just not good enough.
How about this? 707 starts, and this is not for today. The 707 doing some producing on the Comcast Business Sex Line. Fun exercise. Bay Area feds, who would you rather have? Trip Baalke or Farhan Zaidi? Damn, I really don't know. We don't have to answer that right now. Let's get to the calls. Let's get to David in with the Rocky, Antonio, Mike. Everybody's going to get on here to talk some Niner football. Don't forget, Media Day again today, Chase Center, Warriors. And then you know where the Warriors are going straight after Media Day? Flying straight to Hawaii. And they're going to start practicing tomorrow on the big land. Our very own Whitley Sandrino, digital manager, is going out to Hawaii.
Wow, she was just in Italy, and now she's going to Hawaii. That must be great.
Somebody's got to do the job.
Miss Worldwide, like Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. There you go. Yeah. Okay, but she can send me the check in the mail. Trent Baalke, by the way, might be on his third head coach, a la the 49ers, when he had Jim Harbaugh, when he had Jim Tom Sula, Chip Kelly, because Doug Peterson... 0-4.
Did you pull the sound that I said?
Certainly did, Bonte. It's on your board.
Before we get to the calls, here's Doug Peterson after they lost to the Texans yesterday down in Houston to drop the 0-4.
For what? I thought he called a great game. As coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay? I can take it. So, whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
You know, it's so hard. Like, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl.
I know.
And Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. And Mike has been a better coach than Doug Peterson overall, their careers, right? Sean Payton won a Super Bowl, right? And these guys haven't won in a long, long time. And I look at, like, Kyle Shanahan, and I know we lose our minds, and I get frustrated, too. And I admit it. I'm part of the craziness. But, like... Just because you win a Super Bowl doesn't make you better than somebody like Marv Levy or whatever that's been knocking on the door year in, year out. It's like all random. Like this guy, Doug Peterson, out-schemed Belichick, for crying out loud. The Philly special. I mean, he won a Super Bowl over Belichick and dismantled them.
Well, it was 42-20. 42-40, I mean.
I'm talking about offensively. Like they threw up a zillion points. Did they not? Belichick's known for defense.
It was offensive firework. That defense was not. Yeah, wasn't that the Super Bowl where they benched Malcolm Butler before the game and he was crying during the national anthem?
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's like, wow, what the hell is going on with that?
No, but like when you think of Belichick, you think of like, hey, even if his defense isn't great, like he's not giving up 30-plus to you.
That could be, too, that.
It's crazy.
Does Frank Wright get credit for that?
Sure.
Who else did they have on that staff? They had somebody else. It was Frank Reich, Doug Peterson. But to your point,
Jim Schwartz was the DC, right?
Schwartzy.
Schwartzy.
Another guy who's got Shanahan's number. That's a joke. That's what people say.
No, it's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke. When you look at the record, it's actually, I'm not laughing about that. I actually would like to avoid Schwartz or Flores. Or who's the other
Spagnuolo.
One? Spagnuolo.
There's then, three guys.
Well, keep your eye on a McDonald tonight with Seattle.
So we're going to call them the Shanty Stoppers?
Yeah, you might as well. A McDonald tonight in Seattle. It's a big game for the Seattle Seahawks up in Detroit. We are watching that. Now, that's a huge game. Niner fans, you should be tapped in. We got to see what Seattle's all about. Are they a fraudulent 3-0? This McDonald guy, again, I came away from Christmas Day saying, I haven't seen a defense flying around like that in a very long time. They had Purdy and Shanahan confused. I mean, they intercepted a wide receiver screen. When did you see that? I mean, wide receiver screen, bubble screen, boom, popped up in the air, interception. It's like, damn, that team was everywhere. So this guy's got schemes. I'm going to see a scheme tonight. David Fresno, what's happening?
Yeah, hey, a couple little nuggets from yesterday, and I'll get to Vontae's favorite player, Brandon Ayuk, in a second. Just real quick, yesterday,
my favorite player?
You know, with Garrido fumbling yesterday, this kind of ties my both points together. Special teams, again, wow. You know, that's every week. And then also, with Garrido fumbling, they might want to bring another running back, because you were saying earlier, oh, let the best players play. Well, hey, 400 touches for anybody is kind of wild. So if they're not going to use Garrido, because after now he fumbled, they're bring in somebody else. But back to Ayuk, you know, you kept saying all summer, we got to bring him back. You know, you kept ringing off his numbers, 75 catches, 1,307 TDs. He's an elite player, right? But you just spent all morning just kind of going backtracking. Well, in this offense, there's too many mouths to feed. Well, that's exactly why you don't pay him the $30 million, because there is too many mouths to feed.
So what do you do? You just want to cut him? You just want to trade him?
Well, you
want to give up a second team all pro for nothing?
So let me read some other numbers to you, Mr. Bonte. You tell me this player is elite. 90 catches, 1,300 yards, 9 TDs. Would you consider that elite?
It's a very good season. Elite? It's a very good season.
Okay. Let me tell you who that was. That was Calvin Ridley. All right? So
very
he
good
had
player.
A really, really good season. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Player, Dave, real quick. How'd you feel about Calvin Ridley before he got popped for getting suspended for gambling, and he had to sit out a year?
He was a fine player. He had one good season. I wasn't like, oh my god, we got to get him, or I got to draft him in the first round of fantasy. Like, bro,
no, it goes back to fantasy. Okay, all right, keep cooking.
No, but I'm saying, like, one good season doesn't make you an elite player. Especially when you're in an elite offense with elite players surrounding you. That's all I'm saying, Bonte. You was wrong, boy. I love you, big guy.
Wrong about what? Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons? Now we're scoffing at with the 49ers and all the crappy-ass receivers we've seen over the last decade. We're now scoffing at back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. A guy was second in franchise history with 700-100-yard games in the season, and now he's just a bum. And now Calvin Ridley's just a bum, even though two other teams have paid Calvin Ridley, for crying out loud.
I didn't say he's a bum, Bonte. I'm just saying not worth
Hey, well, hold on. Hey, Dave, real quick. Since you're on the fantasy football, what was your average draft range for Brandon Ayuk this season when it came to fantasy football?
For me, I'm in a few, like, third, fourth round. He wasn't going that high.
He's going in the top 40, right?
I guess
you know it's true. He was going to the top 40. Where did he go in your leagues, Padone?
I got him as a steal, actually. I think I got him like in like the fifth or sixth round.
Because everybody didn't. He was a side.
Yeah,
he was a side.
Hasn't been a great pick.
I think his point is an interesting one. I don't know. Like you're saying, like, would you trade him? This and there. I wouldn't. I'm not like pressing to trade him because obviously you haven't seen Pearsall and you can never have enough weapons. But like, if there was a trade out, and I'm throwing hypotheticals out there, but like, let's say Hassan Reddick can be had for a certain price, and maybe you get a pick as well attached to it. I would consider it. I'm not saying I'd do it, but I'd be thinking about it. I mean, you know, I'm sure the Niners aren't thrilled with the way the whole thing went down. And, you know, we'll see. Like, living up to the contract, Bosa's still trying to live up to the contract. One game does nothing to live up to a contract. One season doesn't. You have to judge these things over years, right? And so we're obviously four games into what we assume to be a four-year deal. We'll see after a year or two.
How did he become my favorite player? That's why I don't have a favorite. McCaffrey would be my favorite player on this football team. If anybody, I don't know. Anyway, Rocky and Vallejo. Rocky, be careful what you wish for with Brandon Ayuk.
What?
Hold on, real quick. When Ayuk starts exploding, When he starts balling, I want y'all to keep that same energy. Just remember what y'all saying in the first four games. Just keep the same energy.
Wait, what energy?
Keep the same energy.
Where's his energy?
His energy's not there yet.
I know.
He's ramping up. We do this.
It's week four.
We do this.
I think.
What did Herb say? It's going to take him 2 to 3 weeks.
This. You're telling fans to keep the same energy. This guy had a certain energy last year, and then this other energy in the offseason.
Trying to get himself
and then the
back.
Guy that we're seeing on the field looks. He looks like he's going through the motions. I don't think it's fair for fans to be frustrated.
He didn't look like he was going through the motions yesterday.
He just doesn't have the same pop when he makes plays.
Does it look like he was going through the motions against Minnesota?
I don't know.
When Kyle Shanahan went and turned upon him, thought I'd play well.
A lot of people who see it. Everybody's saying like it just doesn't look the same.
Quarterback's got to throw the football to him. Receivers don't control the targets. He got the same amount of targets yesterday as Deebo Samuel. Same amount of targets.
I don't know.
Jenny's had one more target. I agree. The energy's not there yet.
Okay, that's
it's
what
not
I was saying.
There yet. That's what I'm saying. But keep the same energy when he does start balling out. Did you want to go, honestly, 49er fans, did you want to go into the season without Brandon Ayuk?
No.
Knowing what we knew about Ricky Pearsall?
Once they didn't make the trade, right, like you only had so many other options. So, yeah, well, once they didn't move somebody on draft day or leading up to draft day, like you were kind of up against the wall, right, quite frankly.
Also, what was the reaction when Brandon Ayuk did sign the contract?
Yeah, we were relieved.
We're ecstatic.
Yeah, we were relieved.
We're ecstatic. Rocky Vallejo, what's happening?
What's up, man? I'm going to try to keep the positive energy going over here. So let's talk about the O-line.
You know what, Rocky? Rock, real quick. Keep the positive energy. This is Sports Talk Radio. We swim in negativity in Sports Talk Radio.
Absolutely. But I don't want to do quality control after a win. You know what I mean? So, you know, the O-line, run block, great. Pass block, decent, you know. And obviously, it looks like Shanahan's trying to get Brock ready for the playoffs where the refs let the DBs hold. That's why he's letting him do all these off-script plays and all that stuff. So I think that's good. It's going to prepare them for the playoffs. Defense, number 91, Sam O. Man, he's a player. Sneaky player right there. We got the rookie Green. He has some good plays. My only negative, you know, outside the special teams and a few other things, but number 45, Flanagan Flowers. I hate to put this guy on blast every week, but this guy is not an NFL player. He can't tackle a mannequin out there, man. Put him on special teams and put him on the practice squad, man.
Hey, special
teams. I've seen this guy. He falls down. He can't tackle nobody.
Yeah, he's not very good right now. Special teams is not very special this year. If anything, they're not special. They should be called the NST, not special teams.
Damn. Special. Not special. Got to fix that. But you know what? Saints had a muff. Eagles had a muff. There was a muff last night, Sunday Night Football, correct?
It's not just the muff, though.
It's not the muff. It's bad. No, I get it.
You got a punt block. You've given up big returns.
I saw Tampa Bay yesterday. They got an extra point brought back by the Eagles. Special teams hasn't been special around the league. I don't know what the hell's going on with special teams. Let's go to... Boy, Brandon Ayuk really gets people triggered this year.
Well,
boy.
I think the way the whole thing went down, you leave yourself open to be criticized when the timeline plays out the way it did, and then the Friday thing with the video, and like,
Let me ask this: Was Bosa's weird? Was his year a season ago weird?
Yeah, and we crushed him.
Not like Brandon Ayuk.
The difference between the two players.
Would you have rather Brandon Ayuk just held out and just stayed away and then sign a contract like Bosa?
I think we can't talk about them like they're the same player. Bosa is, even in a down year, considered a top five guy at his position no matter what. Bosa has 25 or more teams willing to pay him $120 million guaranteed no matter what. The same cannot be said about Brandon Ayuk. Bosa every year has been all pro, essentially, right? So, like, they're not the same player. They're not in the same category, right? Now, did we feel a certain way about Bosa when he did hold out and he did come in and didn't play well? Sure. We critiqued him. I think that Ayuk's getting probably more criticism now than what Bosa got back then. That I'll grant you. But no, they're not the same player. They're just not viewed the same way around the league.
Well, when Bosa threw Steve Wilks under the bus, everybody agreed with Bosa, saying, yeah, hell yeah. It was like, wow, this guy just threw a coach under the bus. You imagine Brandon Ayuk said, What if he threw Leonard Hakerson, a wide receiver coach, under the bus? People be all over IU. Bosa did it. It was all good in the hood. Again, it was all good in the hood.
Bosa has credibility, he does have four-time All-Pro.
Hey, man, IU made a second-team All-Pro in a team that throws the ball the third least amount of times.
Monte.
All right? Monte. So I hear you with Bosa. I hear it, but Bosa hasn't lived up to the contract, and the injury was completely different. That's all I'm saying. Not to say we don't want Brandon Ayuk, well, fine, trade Brandon Ayuk then.
No, we're saying he needs to play better.
The Steelers still want him.
People are saying he needs to play better.
But we don't know if he's playing at a high level because the quarterback's not throwing him the ball. He's spreading the ball around. We don't know if he's getting open. I haven't watched the All-22. When Shanahan goes, I thought coming out of the Minnesota game, I was like, well, Brandon Ayuk ain't doing anything. Purdy ain't seeing it. Shanahan goes up there and is like, I thought Brandon Ayuk had his best game. We didn't hit him on a couple plays that could have made his game a lot better. If Purdy throws a deep ball last week and he creates, not only that, the first quarter, he creates a defensive holding call, right, on the deep shot. That's a touchdown. Tre'Davious White holds him, but you get first down and you score a touchdown. That's created by Brandon Ayuk, which is why I want a stat. I want a stat. We got all these hidden yardage stats, right? You got hockey assist in basketball. Got all these stats. I would love to get a stat. How many yards created by wide receivers on pass interferences or defensive holding calls? Because I think that should be quantified. I think that should be, we should be able to equate a wide receiver's performance with, oh, is he creating penalties? We do it with defensive ends, right? With Bosa, well, he, intentional grounding, he forced that. Offensive holding, he forced that. Pressures, he forced that. Can we do that with wide receivers? Because we're talking about Brandon Ayuk completely different if Purdy throws that ball last week or if he catches that ball in the first quarter when he's not called for defensive holding. That's all. It's just, boy, Brandon Ayuk can't catch a break around here. And I get it. I get it. He's a damn good player, though. Let's not forget that. I still believe that to my core.
I think everyone thinks he's a really good player.
I don't know.
But there's a difference between...
David Fresno doesn't.
Well, I think there's... I think where people... Like, there's a distinction here. It's like really good versus top at the position. Right? I think there's a little wiggle room there, and people think he's really good, but not top of his position.
I agree with that. But when he asked for the money early,
well, that's a whole other can of worms. It takes two to tango.
And then the receiver market changes, and I used to look at his numbers and saying, well, look at my productivity and look at where I was at last year, and this guy's getting money, that guy's getting money, this guy's getting money. Got to do what you got to do for yourself. So he's got to play better. There's no doubt about it, but I don't know how poor it is. When Shanahan says, man, this guy's good the first 2 weeks and he's getting back, all right, fine. We'll see. He's got work to do, though. And we all saw this coming, right? When you produce stat lines of two catches of 48 yards, there's going to be doom and gloom about him all the time.
Well, the holdout stuff is just, right. You set yourself up for criticism. The team, the player, everyone. Like, Trent had a pretty quiet game yesterday, so no one's going to bring him up at all, right? And they won, and they were in full control. But I thought there were some pass protection issues, but we're not going to bring that up because they won, and they were in full control and all that. So, you know, I mean, look, again, you open up Pandora's box when you go about it this way. Fair or not, I just think this is how the modern fan talks like this now.
Do you believe this? 925, Comcast Business Text Line. Do you buy this?
What's that?
That Juwan Jennings is benefiting from double teams on Brandon Ayuk.
I don't know. I know that when Juwan Jennings makes catches, it does feel like guys are on his back. I don't know if that has to do with double teams or not double teams. I don't know what people are doing. I don't know. I don't pretend to be Greg Cosell.
Yeah, that's all. Just, you know, this guy may be, you know, benefiting from, hey, you're seeing one-on-ones because of Brandon Ayuk. It's just like we talk about gravity on the court with Stephen Curry. Guys are getting wide open shots because of Stephen Curry, right? And his presence out there. Who knows? But I think we all agree Ayuk has to be better. He has to get better. And the holdout, we knew the hold in was going to set him back, which is why we didn't want him holding in. But I'd be careful with trading him and saying bye-bye to Brandon Ayuk, man. This guy has put together some good seasons for the 49ers. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, happy Victory Monday, guys.
What's up?
Good win yesterday. I would actually just like to say, you know, I kind of considered this Sunday more of like a tune-up game since we had everyone back. And it looked like, you know, minus McCaffrey, of course. But it looked like, you know, we did finally see some glimpses of like what Ayuk can do, especially with that diving catch, man. That was an awesome, and yeah, like you said, Bonte, that was a critical play also. as well as, like, you know, finally seeing Trent Williams, and maybe he got it during the half. Like, maybe he didn't have to get an IV this time. Hopefully he didn't. And then, you know, the only thing that really did kind of scare me was, like, when Fred Warner went out with that ankle injury. But I think it was kind of smart for them to kind of hold him out for a little bit, you know, just making sure, especially with the lead that they had. But just overall, I do still have some concerns with the offensive line whenever they're trying to do a pass at that point. I still think they need to get that buckled down a little bit more. But it was a lot better compared to what we've seen in the past. And one last thing I got to say is, just on the Patriots side, man, Christian Gonzalez, man, that guy is a baller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he is turning out to be a really good one-on-one corner, like man-to-man coverage. So last thing I got to say, guys, is vote Joe Shasky 2025 for council.
Christian Gonzalez, they were showing some of those like cut-ups of him staying with guys. His hips, his feet, he is a very good player.
He's really good. They should not let him go. He's going to get paid a lot of money in the future.
Belichick's last great pick.
I really like him. Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, what's happening?
Oh, man, you know, I give that win a B+. You know, some not-so-good things, special teams, and the Brock Purdy pass. But at the end of the day, you know, wins are hard to come by. And I'm just happy about the dub. And Brandon Ayuk, man, I got confidence in him. Of course, he's been frustrating me, you know, because he hasn't been dominating like how we all want. But, you know, we got to keep that guy. We can't trade him. He's number one receiver, man. He got all the skills in the world, man. And then Christian McCaffrey, did he hoodwink us a little bit? I mean, maybe a little bit, but he's the best running back in football, man. He's the Caucasian Marshall Faulk, and we need that guy. So, like I said, everything in football is not always going to go great, but as long as we keep on getting wins, man. And Fred Warner, DPOY front runner right now.
Let's go, Antonio.
Both of you eight.
Let's go, Antonio. Hey, Antonio, I know you're watching the Seahawks closely tonight, right?
Yeah.
You getting your scouting on? You think they're a fraudulent 3-0?
No, I think they're kind of serious. I mean, they're not like second-tier serious. I'm not going to say they're phonies, but they're a really good team. They're going to be right there and think of things. But Niners are going to beat them and pass them up, so I'm not tripping off them. But
it comes down to Geno. Like, I think a lot of people just don't believe in Geno. Like, they really believe in Geno. They like the story and whatever. I just think it comes down. And fair or not, I just think a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't believe in Geno. And so they kind of, like, discredit the Seahawks. Witherspoon is a stud.
Yeah, they got players.
They got players. Yeah, for right. Absolutely.
I'm eager to see how this game plays out
DK
tonight.
Metcalf's one of my favorite players in the league.
Yeah, there you go. Philmo Mike, one of my favorite callers at 95.7 a game. Don't come at me about arm strength, Philmo. I'm not talking about arm strength.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't be talking about that. What does that mean? That don't even mean nothing. Great win yesterday. I like the temperament of the team.
Mm.
It's not a grandeur, a big old, we got to get to this seed or anything. You know, we got the win, solid win, took care of business, no big deal. So they got back on track. I'm feeling that. When it comes to Ayuk, you say you get it, Bonte. I don't get it. I don't get it. We know he's rusty. He came in. We already know this. Let him get his foot up under him. He's going to have a game. The Niner offense is built like that.
What did I say? Don't get what? What did you mean by that?
When you said you don't get why people tripping on IU.
I understand why. I've said it. Shad, last week I said, man, if he produces a stat line against the Rams 3-for-58, they're going to come for his head. I know how this works.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, I don't get the hate either. I don't get why people wasn't coming at Bosa like that. And you feel me? Like, it's no big deal, ultimately. But what I'm saying, what I ultimately want to also say is I want to claim a term, the Midwest offense. Kyle Shanahan runs the Midwest offense. He has a lot of it's a variation of the West Coast, but I like to call it the Midwest offense because it's bread and butter, Nebraska, Colorado, Denver Bronco football, his dad, Midwest. And then Shanahan has a tree now. So, like, people's running that Midwest offense from Shanahan. And then, McCaffrey may be expendable. McCaffrey may be expendable. You know why? Shanahan get running backs all day. Who knows? Who's here to say that next year? I'm not saying that. It's blasphemy, I know. But just think about it. You paid all these players. Hargrave may not be here. McCaffrey may be coming. I'm just saying, you got a torn Achilles. That's serious. I hope he comes back. I'm just saying, if you look at the bigger picture, McCaffrey may become expendable if we can find one or two more running backs to help complement Jordan Mason. Hey. I don't want it to happen. I do not want it to happen. But in Shanahan's system, if anybody can overcome McCaffrey, it's Kyle Shanahan. That's all I'm
saying. But Jordan Mason, real quick, Will, I don't know where I rank him currently. He is a back unlike anything I can remember them having in a long, long time. I mean, he's big, physical, makes guys miss. I believe he's leading the NFL. This is until the Derrick Henry game. Leading the NFL in terms of making guys miss, yards after first contact. Like, he is unlike any other player they've had at that position in a long time.
People don't want to tackle him. They're making business decisions. They don't want to tackle him.
He's a beast.
They don't want to tackle him.
He's got underrated speed, too.
I think his hands have gotten a lot better. He's gotten better as a route runner. He's playing some really, really good football. He's one of the best backs right now in the league in terms of running and the way he's using his line, the way he just gets downhill. I mean, guys just simply don't want to tackle him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of businesses. You want to get in front of Jordan Mason? You might get put on a highlight. People don't want that, man. They got families.
He did a really good job on one of these runs where Kittle was sealing it. He kind of like, zipped in and out his feet. He's a really good player.
I'm impressed with his route running. I'm impressed with his hands. Obviously, the jug machine. The touchdown that got called back there on the George Kittle hold, it was an egregious holding call. There's no doubt about that. But the play that Jordan Mason made to catch that football, the way he caught that football, all hands and the run after the catch, boy, this guy has come a very long way. Very impressed with Jordan Mason right now. Now, in terms of having making Christian McCaffrey expendable, I'm not there yet. I'm not even going to go there.
Look, we don't know what kind of player he's going to be when he comes back. Well, who knows? But I'll just say this. Like, I watched old man Terry Kirby and Kevin Falk, going way back, who couldn't run at all. Just they had great hands out of the backfield. Yep. So even if, let's just say, he won't be worth the money. I'll tell you that right now, because you give him $18 million to be an all-purpose superstar. But would I keep a guy like CMC on the team, even if he ran half the speed he's at now? Yeah, because route running and hands are so underrated, and coming out of the backfield, that's a weapon all in itself.
Yep, no doubt. Let's go to Fozzie in the East Bay. Fozzie, what's happening?
What's up, Fozzie?
What's up, boys? Good win. Man, I just wanted to chime in and say, man, our 49er fans getting a little spoiled here? Get a win, and all everybody can talk about is Brandon Ayuk not playing too good. Man, it wasn't too long ago where this team was 8-8, 7-9, 6-6. Man, now all we can talk about is how poorly one player is playing. When a win is a win, I mean, we should be excited about Jordan Mason playing his butt off, stepping in for Christian McCaffrey. Defense is playing lights out. 49ers defense and Jordan Mason won me my fantasy game yesterday. That's all I'm happy about, man. We need to be more appreciative of these wins, man. It's not easy to win in this league.
Agreed.
Very good point, Fozzie. Very good point. And they covered a spread yesterday, the 49ers, that is. So they covered the 10 points, 10 and a half. That's a large spread. They covered it. So he's right. Jordan Mason, Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, George Kittle's back. It was good to see Deebo on the field. There's a lot to like. And there's a lot more room for improvement with this football team. But they're 2-2 after the first quarter of the season. Can they get to 5-3 by the bye week? Can they go 3-1 over these next four games? They're going to play a wounded Arizona team next Sunday who's going to probably welcome back tight end Trey McBride, who missed a game yesterday with the concussion. But Arizona's going to be desperate, and it's a division game, right? And then the next week, you got Seattle on a short week, Thursday night football. Where are they going to be at? Then you welcome in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, I hate them.
And then you have the Dallas Cowboys.
So I'm looking at the offensive leaders in the NFL currently. Brock Purdy, most passing yards, 1,130. Yeah. Number two, Dak Prescott. Number three, C.J. Stroud. Number four, Baker Mayfield. Five, Matthew Stafford. Rushing yards. Number one, Derrick Henry, 480 after 200 and whatever, 10 last night.
199 yesterday.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Mason, 447, number two in the league. Saquon, Kamara, and then Jonathan Taylor round out the top five. You've got the number one passer and a top two rusher right now.
And you got a number three wide receiver in Juwan Jennings with 364 yards
receiving. Didn't even see that.
So
wow, didn't even see that.
You know, this team hasn't even clicked yet. They haven't even got going yet. And they've had slow starts under Kyle Shanahan. They've had close slow starts. But, boy, when they start cranking up and they start winning games, the best is yet to come with the 49ers. But you know, there's no reason to panic. So Fozzie's point, there is a lot to like. There's a lot to like. And boy, if Brandon Ayuk does catch back up to speed and he starts balling out, and you get George Kittle, you get Bosa, you get his defensive line, the best is yet to come with the 49ers, man. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. You could be Doug Peterson.